Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Getting ready to do our show today, and it's been a busy morning for me. Here we go. Dr. Christina Chambreau is on the line with us, and I'm having a little bit of trouble getting the chat started today. Once I figure out how to do that, folks can put messages. Otherwise, in the meantime, you can call in to 347-945-6956. That's 347-945-6956. Or if you're on Blog Talk Radio right now, you can just click that little blue Skype button and you will be connected to us to give us your questions or comments. And we're going to have a show talking today about pests and pets, and it might run the gamut between gnats, cockroaches, mosquitoes. I have no idea, but I know that Christina.
Not sure what I can say about cockroaches, Debbie.
do they scurry around, and do the pets play with them on the ground or eat them, or do they bother each other in the house, or does the cockroaches live in harmony with your pets?
Well, I think cockroaches are pretty good at hiding, and so I doubt they actually get caught that often. But I'm depending on how many there are, and how clever the dogs and cats are at chasing them. Uh-huh. I'm sure that some cockroaches are played with by kittens, and that
they do bat them around,
and some dogs eat them. So that certainly is a possibility. More interesting, I think, is that a number of people have trained their dogs to eat stink bugs.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
To get rid of them. So stink bugs, you know, has been a major problem, at least on the East Coast. They come into our house as soon as it gets cold outside. And they come inside, and they're just like, they cover your windows. About a week ago when it first got cold, my husband came downstairs and said, Christina, the bathroom is covered with stink bugs and ladybugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up, and by golly, I don't keep a screen on that window, and there was probably 100 stink bugs. And they were all in the drape on the window. So I opened the window, and then I pulled the drape outside and shook it off and got rid of them all and caught the rest of the ladybugs and the stink bugs, and then sealed the windows with some clay so I could take it off if I wanted to open the window. And there's not been a single stink bug in there since. So they definitely were coming in from outside. So imagine if you had all of those and you had a lovely dog who would just stand on his hind legs and snap and eat all the stink bugs. They're a great source of protein. You know, bugs
They're a great source of protein. And I'm really curious as to what actually is a stink bug.
Oh, I have no idea. It's just a square-looking sort of thing that's showing up recently on the East Coast. I don't think we'd ever talked about them until probably 3 years ago. And the reason they're called a stink bug is because if you crush them and they're alive or recently dead, they stink. They have a really bad odor.
Right.
And that's why they're called a stink bug.
Okay.
They got sort of a square back to them. They're bigger. They're twice the size of twice the size of a Japanese beetle.
Uh-huh.
About half an inch long and wide. Looks like they've got a shield on their back. And it
uh-huh.
was introduced. It's an invasive that came in from Japan, I think, but I'm not positive. And they sneak through little tiny holes to get into the house, and they damage fruit crops, tomatoes. They land on the fruit or the tomato, and they poke a hole in the skin, and they suck the juices out.
Uh-huh.
So it's been a problem. So that's why it's really great that dogs have been trained to eat them. A woman in my garden club has two goldens, and she said she just trained him. She said, "Eat that."
Really?
I'm really not sure how she trained them. But since then, I've talked to at least 5 or 6 other people in passing that have said, "Oh, yeah, my dogs and cats love to eat stink bugs."
Well, I guess that's one way to get rid of them.
It is. It's a great way to get rid of them and feed your animals as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in many countries, people thrive on insects of all sorts, cockroaches, grasshoppers, worms, grubs, tree worms. I mean, it's a great source of protein. And even in the United States, you know, it wasn't until I moved to Baltimore that I learned about the cicadas, the 17-year cicadas. And back then, it was clearly every 17 years. And the first batch came when our daughter was a year old, or within her first year, maybe. And my husband was all excited because he hadn't seen them for 17 years, and they covered the sidewalks. I mean, truly, when it used to be clearly every 17 years, it was thousands, millions of these cricket-looking guys all over the place. They just covered everything and decimated the trees and all of that. And so there were tons of recipes for people in the Baltimore Sun on how to eat cicadas and talked
mm-hmm.
about their high protein content. So I definitely know people who ate them. I never did get around to cooking them.
I don't eat bugs. It's off of my menu.
Well, you know, it's something we all may have to put on our menu at some point.
Well, it's not kosher, so I can't.
Well, you know, sometimes if there's nothing else to eat, you may have to. But just to know they're edible is an important thing. So they
I think
good.
I'll be able to scrounge whatever is berries and whatnot. I think, as a matter of fact, my hope, goal, and vision is to really create a beautiful organic garden. So that's what I'm aiming toward.
That's wonderful. That's certainly the best. But in certain circumstances, there are people, you know, that need to do that. That's what they need to do to
right.
stay alive. And to know that's possible and actually very nutritious is a wonderful thing. Too many people
yeah.
are told, ooh, you know, that'll kill you. Well,
uh-huh.
it won't. And so therefore, you have to know that it won't kill your animals, so you don't have to worry if you see your dogs or your cats eating bugs. Most
right.
bugs are fine. I mean, certainly there are some poisonous bugs. I'm not saying there aren't. They're poisonous spiders, poisonous beetles, poisonous lizards. But in general, if you're seeing them eat a bug that, you know, you've seen around a long time, you're fine on that. So
uh-huh.
I don't think we have to worry so much about those bugs. You know, the best thing, if you have pests in your house, is if you can get your dog to eat the pests, then you've got an easy solution that's a non-chemical solution. The main goal with all bugs, whether it's fleas and ticks or mosquitoes, ants, all of that, the main goal is how do we live in harmony together? How do we avoid killing? Because
mm-hmm.
from a Buddhist standpoint, you don't want to even kill a bug. So
right.
can we live together? Can we work together? One of my absolute favorites in doing this is Molly of Green Hope Farms. So greenhopeessences.com, is her website. She has a farm in New Hampshire, and she and another woman, Michelle Small Wright, who has Paralandra in Virginia near Charlottesville, and her website is paralandra-ltd.com.
Ltd.com.
Yeah, for limited.
Okay.
And both of these women, Molly and Michelle, are leaders and examples and demonstrations of excellence for us in terms of communicating with all nature. So once mm-hmm. you learn how to really communicate with animals and insects, then you can learn to live in harmony together. So at one point, Michelle had an infestation or had too many moles in her garden, and they were eating the roots, and she was not happy with them being there. And there were fields, wonderful fields all around her. So she sat down one day and talked to the moles, and she said, you know, it would really be nice for me if you would move out to this other area where you can eat to your heart's content, because these are special flowers for me that I'd really like to harvest myself. And so if you can eat there and I eat here, then we'll all do well. And they said, okay. And it was in the afternoon, and so they all, this line of them, they like came out of their holes and started heading for the pasture. And she said, oh, no, don't go now. Wait until it's dark. If you go now, you might get caught by a hawk or an eagle.
Oh.
And so they waited, and they left that night and were gone.
Wow.
And so that was a way not to have to kill them. Or
well, I want to let folks know that I was able to open up the chat line today, and so it is there. And if you do want to call in and talk to Christina, it is 347-945-6956, or clicking the Skype button. And I'm thankful that some guests have arrived. Okay, so you were
excellent.
Saying this is wonderful. So I found her website, Michelle. Right.
Small right,
and I put
mm-hmm.
that up there, and Paralandra, LTD.com, and you're saying that she had some kind of a connection with the animals.
Well, she does this with everybody. So I have an example where I had a hillside behind my house that I was trying to grow plants on. There had been nothing growing there when we moved in. It was just dirt and rock. And not even weeds growing there. So I was slowly building it up, and I had gotten this one area very lovely. It had lots and lots of plants, mostly phlox, but a lot of native plants growing in there, a couple of bushes. And I kept noticing they were like drooping, and I'd water them and they were still drooping. And finally I did a little digging around, or by accident, maybe when I was weeding, I discovered that the hillside had become an entire anthill. There were ants everywhere. So I didn't want to hurt them, so I asked them to leave, and they didn't. So then for a month, I dug up ants. I would dig up whole sections, put all the dirt in a bucket, bring in new dirt, put the plant back in the ground, and then move the bucket with the ants in it to a place way onto another corner of my property where all the ants could live together. And there were so many ants that I could smell the formic acid. So the name of ant is Formica rufa, and it exudes this acid, and it's so acrid that it was killing the plants. And it would hurt my nose. There were so many of them. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, ants are edible as well. I was on a hike, and somebody, a woodsman, showed you how if you get stuck in the woods, you can eat an ant. Of course, that's eating life as opposed to killing it with chemicals, which I don't like either one. But it can be done. So,
well, I have heard of
was
chocolate-covered ants.
Right. I was about ready to give up, and I sat down one day and I said, okay, guys, I've had it. I've tried my best. I've really worked with you. I've tried my best to move you, to relocate you, to be nice to you, and if you're not gone by tomorrow morning, I'm coming in with chemicals or hot water. I was going to use hot water because that kills mm-hmm. ants. And the next morning, all the ants were gone. There was not mm-hmm. a single ant on the whole hill.
Hmm.
In that
garden.
So
they got your message.
Yes.
Okay. So can we do that all the time? I mean, I have some folks who were like nasty people say nasty things in the comment sections of blogs and stuff. You know, you can come across these people who are not pleasant to deal with. And how can we talk to them also and ask them to leave quietly and gently in some way?
Absolutely. There's a there's an entire procedure called that we've spoken about this before, called Ho'oponopono.
Okay.
It's a Hawaiian method of healing, particularly differences. And it's four statements that you make, and I don't always get them in, I'm not sure there's a right order, but I don't think I always quite get them in the right order to start with. So you start off, this is something you say to yourself about them. So you're broadcasting it, but you're not necessarily saying it aloud. And it is possible to say it aloud to certain people, like in your family. So it's thank you. So thank you for showing me this aspect of the world. I'm sorry. So it's thank you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry part two?
Yeah, part two is I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I'm sorry could be like, I'm sorry that I contributed to your feeling this way. I'm sorry that you are how you are. I'm sorry the circumstance is the way it is. So interpret that however you want. So first is thank you, then I'm sorry, then you say forgive me.
Okay.
So whether you know you were at fault or not,
mm-hmm.
forgive me.
And okay.
then I love you.
Okay.
And Ihor Basco's wife, Jane, when she was living on one of the islands in Hawaii, not where they live now, had a neighbor, and there was a real tussle going on between she and the neighbor. And I forget whether it was over a tree that was on the edge of the property or barking dogs, but one of those typical neighborhood problems where I've got my right to do it my way. Well, that right really is infringing on me. And it was one of those. And she'd forgotten, even though she uses it, about to use Ho'oponopono. So this had gone on for maybe a year. And one day, she started doing Ho'oponopono. She just said it to herself every day. She'd go out and stand and look at the neighbor next door at their place, and she would just go through, thank you, I'm sorry, forgive me, or I forgive you, and I love you. And within a month, that family had packed up and moved.
Okay, good job.
Of course, we always remember the things that work. So I tried the talking to ants when I had ants inside my house, and it didn't work. And I vacuumed them up. They were like in this little hot water closet room. And I vacuumed them up and relocated them for about a month or two. And then I told them I was going to come in with chemicals and kill them. And they still didn't go away. And I had an animal communicator talk to them, and she said that sometimes ants just are stubborn. So I did have to come in. I used like diatomaceous earth or something. So it was an earth-friendly chemical, but it was killing. It did kill all the ants. But I had tried, but it didn't work the way it did on the hill. So all you can do is try, and you do your best effort. And that's the same thing with fleas and ticks on dogs and cats. So say you've got a flea problem.
We do. You're ESPing because we have a guest in the chat. And you just transitioned directly into the fleas. The person is asking about homeopathic remedies for a cat who is allergic to fleas. And it comes out as scabby and lackluster. Without chemicals, I don't know what without chemicals means, maybe because they're not shampooing and using chemicals, but that obviously the fleas are causing some sort of a reaction. Maybe they'll tell us.
I'll get to that answer in just a minute. Let me finish with this first part. So with fleas and ticks, people who are committed to not using chemicals may try all the suggestions that are printed, that are written, that I'll talk about, and they try them because they're so committed to no chemicals. But they may have an animal who's very allergic to fleas and ticks, or it seems like nothing they've done is working. And so just like I had to resort to killing the ants in my house, occasionally people need to use chemicals to get rid of the fleas in their house and on their animal. But the difference is conventional veterinarians, when I was at the North American Veterinary Congress last year with the Animal Wellness magazine group, there were signs all over the place. The big push was 12 months of the year, and they wanted everyone giving heartworm prevention every month, 12 months a year, using flea chemicals every month, 12 months out of the year. And as opposed to what I spoke about at the beginning, which is how can we live in harmony with every living being on the planet, including fleas, theirs is, let's prevent everything, kill everything, keep them at bay, kill, kill, kill. And because that's what a heartworm preventative does, you know, is it kills the larvae that are migrating in the body. It doesn't prevent anything except them becoming adults. So it really is killing the larvae. So what I'm pointing to is rather than constantly killing everything, putting pesticides on our yards, spraying our houses, killing, 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 we need to learn to, as much as we can, to live together. But there might be times where you have to resort to a method of killing. There are multiple mm-hmm. different ways, and you want to do the least objectionable way. So that's the goal. There actually is a wonderful gardener in Canada, and I can't think of her name or the book right now, but she speaks a lot about non-chemical ways of keeping your lawn and your yard healthy. And someone asked her to speak on, you know, non-chemical ways to get rid of pests. And she sat there, and she's done that talk many a time, but when she got this request, her book says, I sat there and I realized that I'm not interested in killing bugs, even with natural methods. What I'm interested in more is discovering why the pests are here in the first place. How can I enrich the soil and make my plants stronger so what I consider to be a bug won't even be there? Or we may have 5 or 6 Japanese beetles that eat a few holes, and then they're gone. So that's my goal with fleas, is to have no fleas because you are keeping your yard so healthy that there are all sorts of good insects that are eating the bugs, the fleas. Mm-hmm. It's to keep your dog or cat, and this is addressing the question, to keep your dog or cat so healthy that they no longer develop an allergy to a single flea bite. So there mm-hmm. are many animals, because they're vaccinated, fed a commercial diet, on flea prevention, on heartworm prevention, living in houses that have VOC, volatile outgassing, paints, furniture, rugs. So all of these things contribute, in addition to what we cannot do anything about, the air and the water in certain areas is polluted, and having smart meters on your house that are sending out electromagnetic waves into your house, Wi-Fi, cell phones. So some things we can do something about, other things we can't. But the goal is to build up the health of every person and every animal so that single flea bite won't develop into an allergy, so that the blood of our animals is so disgustingly healthy that fleas just don't want to eat it.
Disgustingly healthy?
That's right. Fleas do not like healthy blood. Fleas like ill blood.
Really?
So as soon as dogs become healthier, fleas just aren't there. Healthy dogs and cats never or rarely have fleas. And I, after
lots
30
of
years,
garlic. We have
after
to feed
30
our-
years, well, we'll get to that in a minute. After 30 years of dealing with animals, I can just tell you for sure, when they're really, really healthy, the chance of getting fleas or the incidence of getting fleas is less than 10%.
Okay.
So you can do things like garlic as a temporary help. So garlic does two things. One is it makes the animals have an odor that fleas don't like. Two is it's a general, it nurtures the digestive tract. So there's better absorption of nutrients. And it's giving a fresh food to some dogs that never touch fresh food. So if they get some garlic, at least they're getting a little bit of fresh food. So garlic is one thing. Brewer's yeast is another. So there are things you can do like that. But most importantly is to build the overall health. So if you have an animal, like this was a cat the woman was asking about?
Yes.
A cat or a dog?
Yeah, cat.
Cat, okay. So when you have a cat who has severe flea allergies, there is not a homeopathic remedy that will be the cure for every single cat with flea allergies, because homeopathy doesn't work that way. So the way homeopathy works is like cures like. We would ask questions of the guardian of this cat, in terms of, is it when you see the first flea, is it, does it ever have skin problems any other time of the year? Is it only when fleas are there? Go through all of the early warning signs of illness, and you can find that whole list of the early warning signs of internal imbalance either on the Academy of Homeopathy website or on my website. And so, does the cat vomit hairballs? Does the cat have a red line on its gum? Is the cat, as it ages, developing freckles? Does the cat vomit hairballs? Does the cat prefer to be warm or prefer to be cold? When it's itching and having a skin problem, is it more thirsty, less thirsty? Wants cold more, wants warmth more? What's the behavior like? What are the things that, are there fears? So we're looking at the whole cat and making a list of all the symptoms, and then we find a remedy that matches not only the skin reaction that's present, but everything about the cat. And when we find the right remedy, not only does the current itching and skin scabies and miliary dermatitis go away from the flea allergy, but the cat is healthier overall and next year is less likely to develop any allergies as long as you continue with the homeopathic treatment. Now, Chinese medicine will work just as well. Go ahead.
Okay, the person is asking or mentioning that the initial issues they notice about the cat is that the cat sleeps a lot. She can't call in because she's calling in from the UK, which is great that we have international people here. So you can chat right on the chat more information, and I'll relay that to Christina.
Well, I'm not going to be able to, I will not be able to prescribe a homeopathic remedy on a radio show. So all those questions I asked are just the tip of the iceberg. I would need to speak with her for half an hour to an hour to find the matching homeopathic remedy. However, what I can add to this as she lists different symptoms is we can talk about in general what these symptoms mean. So when a cat sleeps a lot, some cats do sleep a lot. I mean, they just do. They're born as kittens, and they're just these laid-back cats that go out and play really hard for an hour and sleep for 6 hours, then they play really hard. And then other cats sort of wander around a lot, and they're like, whoop, what's happening? Whoop, let me check out. So some are just like people. Some people are more laid-back and just sitting there reading books if they're not working, or even at work, they're quiet and doing their work, and others are always sticking their nose into everything. So there's normal sleepiness, but I'm assuming she means that her cat has gotten sleepier as the cat aged, or when the cat has the flea allergies, then the cat is sleepier. So that would be a sign that again, that you need to have something different in the animal's life. Now, it may not be the need for a homeopathic remedy. We have to always go back to the seven keys to health, and one of them is to feed the best diet. So I find that most dogs and cats who are getting an appropriate diet, which is a raw meat and pureed vegetable diet, very few of them ever have flea problems, and they very rarely have skin problems, and their hair coat glows.
Mm-hmm.
So diet is one
thing.
Do we
feed cats oil? Like, you know, I like to eat olive oil and coconut oil. Do we feed cats that also, or do they need something different?
Well, cats need a specific blend of vitamin of omega-3s and omega-6s, so it's good to get a preparation that is for dogs and cats. But it also, this goes back, people should go back and listen to some of our nutrition talks, because the answer to that is yes and no. So some animals just need a good basic raw food diet. Other animals have a few symptoms where you need to add in supplements. But for fleas, for fleas and ticks, you want to feed the basic diet. You want to stop vaccinating for anything but the legally required rabies. And in England, it may not even be legally required yet for cats. It never was until the Chunnel was put in. And now they're having to deal with vaccine and all the rabies vaccinosis issues. And and then you want to be building up health. And that can be by lots of different ways. I encourage every single person to learn Reiki, because Reiki will build the health of the animal. So if you're seeing fleas on your dog and cat, you start offering Reiki every day. Frankly, I think just like we meditate every day, what I do actually is when I finish meditating, if my cat is in the house, I offer Reiki for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's not in the house, he tends to come over when I'm watching TV, and he actually requests Reiki on certain parts of his body, particularly his throat. So I wonder if we're not dealing with preventing hyperthyroidism with him, because he's always offering his throat to be Reikied. But if you're dealing with fleas and even ticks, if what I would do is offer Reiki every day. And if they're ill from it, like with this, I would do it 2 or 3 times a day. So the cat could be cured of the itchies simply by doing Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I would do when
you
have
brush
a cat,
do you brush cats?
Absolutely. Every cat should be brushed on a regular basis.
Okay, that sounds like it. That would feel really good for a kitty cat.
Yep. Well, for some cats it does, for some cats it doesn't. Just like some children love to have their hair brushed and played with, and others can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So that again, is something that could be an early warning sign that their skin is too sensitive, or it just could be a behavioral difference, a personality difference, not necessarily an ill health that has to be treated. So offering Reiki, the second thing is to use flower essences. Flower essences are 100% safe. They will never cause any harm. So if they work, great. If they don't, you haven't lost anything. For the woman in the UK, the Bach flower essence.
It's a gentleman with a cat.
Oh, okay, sorry. With the man in the UK, Bach flower essences were actually, all of flower essences were started by Edward, it's actually Bach, from Wales, UK, back in the early 1900s. And he had been a homeopath, he'd been an MD, then a homeopathic MD, and then he decided that flowers could do just as well. So he started the flower essences, and there are 38 Bach flowers. And any time that you're having skin issues or bug issues, you want to be using rescue remedy, which sort of causes relief and sometimes will stop itching entirely, and crabapple. Crabapple is good for sort of detoxifying and when there's a lot of parasites. And there's some very good books on flower essences, so you may be able to pick some other flower, some other Bach flowers, depending on how this particular cat is showing the itchiness. So some cats just have scabs, and mm-hmm. other cats itch a little bit, and others are like frantic about it. So if they're frantic and hyperactive and like edgy, then impatience may be good for that. And
Impatience is good for what? I mean,
for a cat. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the man with the cat who has a skin problem from fleas.
Okay. And the impatience is good for what?
Impatience is good for animals that, because of the skin problem, they're impatient, they're irritable, it's like the skin itchiness is like irritating.
Okay.
And so then you would think about impatience. And you can combine 3 or 4 of the flower essences. Now, on the other hand, you may have a cat that has a skin ailment from fleas and has fleas and just sort of has given up. It's like is weak and just lying there and just you get this sense of, doesn't even want to eat.
Uh-huh.
And then you would look at giving gentian.
Okay.
Or olive. So by reading through the books, and there's a good one, Bach Flower Remedies for Animals by Helen Graham, then you can pick out different flower essences of the Bach ones that might help. So I know that this gentleman will have available to him in any British health store, he will have available to him flower essences that he can use to try to help his cat. Now, mm-hmm. also in the UK, on a small island, and I forget the name of the island, is a wonderful company that has a greenhouse, and it's raising tree orchids, and they're making flower essences from the orchids.
Yes.
And I haven't, have you used those?
I did order a couple of those.
And how did you?
I ordered them. I didn't get to use them.
Okay.
You know, I can't use everything because, you know, I'm one person. I don't want to overdose myself.
Mm-hmm. So the website is healingorchids.com.
Okay.
And I can't tell you which orchid I would use for a skin. I haven't learned their essences enough to know what I would use when you had skin problems like allergies from fleas. Maybe it would be for internal cleansing. That might be, there's one they have that's called internal cleansing. That's more the liver and digestive tract. But if you emailed them through their website and said you have an animal with fleas, I'm sure they would tell you what ones to try.
Right.
The one I tried profoundly shifted my money, and it really made my income work better.
Well, everybody could use that one. Tell us what that one is.
I think that was, this is Positive Flow.
Positive Flow.
And an example of it, for me it wasn't, you know, I'm always doing so many things, but I had an intuitive feel that this shifted things dramatically. And they've got good stories in here about other ones like that. So that's another essence company I'd recommend. And also for the gentleman in the UK, there are incredibly wonderful homeopathic veterinarians in the UK. One of my favorite homeopathic veterinarians in all the world is from the UK. Her name is Sue Armstrong. And Sue is an incredible person. She treats people homeopathically, animals homeopathically. She's worked with horses, racehorses in like a racehorse yard. She teaches. She has interns. She's just incredible. And the website in the UK for him to look at is B as in British, A as in animal, H as in homeopathy, V as in veterinary, S as in service.com.
Okay. He's saying that we have a wonderful homeopathic vet, Edward D. Buchler.
Oh, that was going to be my second statement. I know that I've talked about Ed DeBuechler on this show before, because Ed DeBuechler wrote a wonderful book called Homeopathy, What to Expect, and the wonderful, his introduction in the book is good, but what's really incredibly wonderful, and please, when you see him, tell him hello from me, he has 101 cured cases, anywhere from a paragraph to three pages in all species from about five different veterinarians. And these cases are so wonderful because it lets people see what can be cured with homeopathy. So what else did he have to say about going to Ed?
He says that Edward lives down the road from him.
So has he taken his cat to Ed DeBuechler yet?
I have no idea. Maybe it's about time.
That's his first step. See,
he said he talked to the UK vets last year at their AGM. So I don't know what that is, but it must be a conference.
But I would definitely go immediately to Ed. This is how you want to treat your cat. And the key thing with homeopathy is that you're not focused on looking for a cure for the current skin problem. You're focused on a deep constitutional treatment that will prevent future skin problems as well as healing this current skin problem and prevent problems that are deeper and have your cat live a longer life. I mean, one cat at Brighthaven, the cat sanctuary in California, lived to be 34, and she wasn't adopted until she was 18. She was very ill at 18 and then lived to be 34 with treatment with homeopathy, flower essences, and Reiki.
Well, guess what? He's now going to go to speak with Ed, and I'm sure he'll get the best care ever.
Well, when he goes to speak with Ed, tell Ed he talked with Dr. Chambreau, who loves his book. And I recommend everybody purchase that book. You can try doing it through my website. I seem to never get any money from Amazon, but I'm supposed to be getting a penny
or two
a book.
They give you a penny or so. But
yeah.
I did write it on the chat.
That all goes to my free consults to shelters and all of that. So all the affiliate money I make on there helps me give out free care. But there's so many cool cases in here. So isn't that wonderful that he lives right down the road? That's so perfect.
so for we're everybody, talking to Considera, which is, I believe, agricultural agro-homeopath.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Moody. That must be Mark Moody who's called in. So,
Mark Moody was the one about the cat.
Yep, it's him. I'm so glad that we have friends on the network who are listening to our shows. So if we ever want to do a show, Mark, about how your vineyards are growing, how your orchards are doing, we'll set it up.
I'd love to have Mark talk about would be not just how he uses homeopathy with the plants and soil, but how he does integrative farming. I'm sure he has, like Joel Salatin keeps turkeys in his grape vineyards to eat the bugs and fertilize. And how do you, you know, if he does things that are integrative like that, and how do you learn, like what I've been talking about, I bet Mark would have things to say about it in terms of living with the bugs that are around us and using the bugs as an indicator of soil health. And
right.
And working together like that. But that would be a wonderful, wonderful talk for sure.
Okay, well,
so
we'll see. I'm sure he's probably ready to report on some of his plant remedies and investigations, and I'm sure lots of different projects going on. He said he does integrative farming. He's into BD, and we could talk about that biodynamic farming and farm organisms. And so bugs as indicators, he says bugs as indicators. That would be a wonderful follow-up to today's show.
Yes, it really would be. It really would be. That's awesome. Yeah, biodynamic farming, and there's so many different approaches to farming that we need to. So again, so let's. I want to recap something right here, which is if you, it's this is a circle, and you can enter it at any point, but eventually, what we want is to have everybody has a healthy backyard or a healthy farm. And a healthy farm doesn't smell. It can live in the middle of a city. It has bugs, but it doesn't have too many bugs. It doesn't need chemical input. All the input comes from within the farm itself or within the neighborhood. So you may, where you live, for instance, Debbie, have people that don't want to do gardening, and you do you want to take the time to do gardening because you love it and it relaxes you. And so they'll give you all their grass clippings, and they'll give you, they'll keep a compost pile, and then you get the compost. And that way, all of their food scraps, their coffee grounds, or none of it's going into the trash. And it's all going to this local farm. It's the local community farm. And then the animals are being fed, the animals and people are being fed from that local farm, or a couple of farms in the area if you need to expand to get the meat, et cetera. And those farms are doing totally sustainable farming. Now, the reason they're doing sustainable farming is that enough people have come to them and said, I want sustainable farming. So I was at a natural foods expo, and at every booth I went to, if there was meat involved, I would say, so now where does your meat come from? And they'd say something, and I'd say, now, is that pasture-reared meat? And they'd go, yes. And I mean, and I would say, are they really out the whole time? What age do you get the chicks at? How long are they being fed chicken feed? And is the chicken feed organic? No. Well, if the chicken feed's not organic, you're using GMO. If you're buying GMO crops, you're supporting Monsanto and Pioneer and other seed growers who are really pushing for monoculture and chemical fertilizers. So if you ask, where does this come from? If you speak with your dollar and you go to local farmers and say, I'm going to put my money on you instead of paying chemical stuff from the grocery store, then we get this whole cycle where we no longer are being run by corporate America. Corporate America isn't causing us to lose jobs. We all have jobs because we're working next to each other. Our animals don't have fleas because they're being fed a healthy diet, not vaccinated, not exposed to chemicals, have access to frequent Reiki, flower essences when needed, and then professional care with a homeopath or an Chinese medicine when needed. And then we're all healthy and happy, and so is the planet. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense to me.
So I want everybody out there, as you're thinking about fleas and ticks, to focus on that is what's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the meantime, because I know we're running out of time here, in the meantime, I want to let people know that there are lots of different things they can do to temporarily, but holistically and naturally, help prevent fleas and ticks. And I have, if you go to my website and sign up for my newsletter, you'll get a free download of a report that gives you dozens of things you can do and dozens of resources to go to. And soon I'll have a Kindle book that will be even longer and have even more resources. And the report you download will lead you to other books as well. So for the temporary kinds of things that you can do, just the first step is to stop using chemicals so that you can build up health. stop using the vaccine so you can build up health. And then you have to treat everything as a individual case. So first you have to remember that if you're faced with a flea problem, you need to treat the house, the yard, and the animal. Too many people simply focus on the animal with bathing and flea collars, but you have to focus on all three. Even conventional veterinarians, when they're doing their job properly, are encouraging you to focus on all three. Now, they're doing it with chemicals in the yard, chemicals in the house, chemicals on the dog, to have no fleas ever appear. And what we're doing is limit the number of fleas by making it a hostile environment for them. So a healthy soil with healthy bugs will eat the fleas. But also in your yard, if you do have fleas, because, you know, sometimes even when you have a healthy dog or a healthy soil, there's just a huge flea infestation that comes through. They migrate through. When I was in clinical practice at a big practice, I'd have a person one day, three people from the same neighborhood, one of them would say, "I've never seen so many fleas." The next would say, "You know, this is the first year I've not seen any fleas." And the other one was like, "Oh, this is like every other year." So they do move through. When they do, if you see fleas, significant number of fleas on your animal or on you in the house, then you use the nematode spray. So this is a genetically modified bug that only eats flea larvae. So it leaves all your good bugs. If you put diatomaceous earth on your yard, then you're killing the good bugs. The cedar products, there's Cedarside and Wonderside, say they're not killing the good bugs, but I don't quite understand how that could be true. So I'm a little more leery of Cedarside all over your yard. But the flea nematode spray, like you can get it from Gardens Alive, organic, a lot of gardening stores, and most veterinary clinics, many veterinary clinics carry it. You hook it up to your hose and spray either your whole yard or a barrier zone around your house, including the areas where your animals hang out a lot. But then you have to redo it if there's like super, super long rains or super, super dry time. So that has to be monitored a bit. But that's still your best for the yard. Except there is one better for your yard. The way to be sure that you will not have any fleas nor any ticks on your animals, from your yard anyway, is to have guinea hens or chickens in your yard. And then you get eggs, too. How about that?
That's good. I love it. If you know, we fought in my little town here in North Carolina for years to be able just to have chickens, even though the main city of Raleigh, North Carolina, they're allowed to have as many chickens as they like. But in my suburban town, we were not. Well, finally this year they allowed it, but they give you a $50 fee in order to have a chicken every year, and then they say you're only allowed to have three chickens. So it's sort of like, come on. You know, it costs you a fortune just to produce, raise these healthy organic chickens with healthy food, and they blast you with this fine. They should be encouraging people to have independent living and to be improving their environment. They just don't get it.
Well, keep working on it. At least three chickens will actually do a significant. If you have just a normal size backyard, three chickens should totally prevent fleas and ticks on your animals.
Uh-huh.
And so keep working to allow people to have more, and realize there are people on the other side who say, "I don't want chickens in my neighborhood." So they're trying to walk that line between, you know, some people and other people, and it's who has the most money and who has the most influence. So the second thing is your house. In the house, now
in
is where
house.
You, yeah, inside the house, now is where you can use the diatomaceous earth, the Cedarside products or the Wonderside products, other essential oil products. Although with cats, you have to be careful because sometimes they don't like essential oils, and it can make them just not feel very good.
Mm-hmm. How do you test the essential oil on a cat?
You don't. You just put a little tiny bit diluted out and see if the cat avoids that area a lot. And if it does, mm-hmm. then you want to not use it.
Okay. And I, by the way, I did a huge show last night about mosquitoes and other pests, and I listed like 20 different essential oils. So,
and did
you
talk
about
shoe tags for mosquitoes?
Tell me, what is that?
Well, this is something for fleas, ticks, and mosquitoes that everybody mm-hmm. should know about. And they're called shoe tag. The website is shoe tag or shoetags.com.
Okay.
And what they've done, I was initially a little bit suspicious about it because they use it's a little tag that emits
for dogs.
Mm-hmm. For dogs, cats, or people.
Right, I'm seeing it.
That emits electromagnetic frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come up with the different frequency for each insect.
Oh, and I found this S-H-O-O, shoe, mm-hmm. like shoe away,
yep.
shoe tags. Okay, great.
And so what I will say about shoe tags is a couple of comments. Number one, some people have said they've seen better effect with metal shoe tags than plastic ones. But I'm right now just finding the plastic one, so I haven't tracked back to that comment. The second thing is the shoe tag is much more effective if you put it on at the very beginning of the season before you're seeing fleas or when you see your first flea. If you have a dog or a cat that has enough fleas, you have to bathe them to get rid of the fleas. The shoe tag's probably not going to work until you lower the number of fleas in the area. It's still mm-hmm. worth a try, but by itself, it won't be enough.
They're $27.
Well worth it. They last the whole year.
They last the whole year. Okay. Well, why would they even go out of use? They seem like they would be
forever. I don't know. I don't know if they ever go out of use. I actually haven't. My cat gets a few ticks a year that I just pull off, and
uh-huh.
1 year out of eight, maybe, I think twice in his 10 years, he's had a flea.
You have healthy animals.
And then I just use Green Hope Farms combination flower essence called Flea Free, FLEEFREE. Mm-hmm. And other companies like Spirit Essence have flower essence. That one has Para Out of Sight, which is a combination that will prevent fleas, as well as people have used it to get rid of tapeworms, which is a consequence of fleas.
Oh. Okay.
So if they're eating the fleas, they may very well, if they're not healthy, come down with tapeworms. So back to the house. So the things for the house is the essential oils, the diatomaceous earth, vacuuming frequently. The instant you see a flea, you want to vacuum your whole house very carefully, especially corners and under things where the flea larvae would settle and hide. You're trying to basically get all of the flea larvae. Getting the adults is good, but getting the flea larvae is critical. And you want to make sure that you're either using a water canister vacuum. If somebody has a horrendous flea problem and is struggling, I say it's worth either borrowing or getting a water vat kind of thing that the dust comes into water. But if it's coming into a bag or a canister, you need to put some diatomaceous earth in there so that it's killing the fleas and flea larvae as they're coming in with the dirt. Flea larvae eat dirt. So that's why you want to keep the house pristine clean if you're dealing with fleas. Thank goodness I never have fleas. I don't have to keep my house pristine clean because it wouldn't happen. House. I'm trying to think if there was something else I'm missing big on the house. Oh, yes. There is a company. Flea Busters.
Okay.
Now, Flea Busters uses a borate-type product that they spray into your carpet or into the cracks between your wood floorboards, and they give a year guarantee when they come to treat your house. They used to be all over the U.S. Now they're only in about 6 states, but they
mm-hmm.
do sell their product, so you can put it down yourself, and they still give a year guarantee. So that's
okay.
pretty cool. So
okay.
that is another product you can use. So the key thing, though, is animal, if there are tons of fleas, bathe them. If it's a cat, just flea comb. Flea comb is your early warning system. If you've ever had fleas in the history of your animals, you should start flea combing, probably in June or whenever you know fleas show up in your area. And so a little bit for the animal. Focus on the house. Flea traps, you can create your own. Don't spend $50 for a flea trap. Make a bowl of soapy water in a little saucer that's not very deep, and at night, shine a light on it. And the fleas are attracted to the light, hop in the water, and drown. You can also do something that's like a sticky pad and shine the light on it, and the fleas will get stuck to the pad. But I think the water is more effective.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't find a place to locate it where your animals won't drink the water, then the sticky pad might be better. But the key is the heat of the light, heat
mm-hmm.
and the light. The fleas are attracted to it from all over the house. So
okay.
I would do one on each floor of your house. And if you have an area where you feel you have more fleas, then you might want to set up 2 or 3 in that area. Keep the animals out of that area until you've gotten rid of them. So house...
Right.
I can give a trick for
Drosophila, the fruit flies. I've been doing vinegar in a cup, and a little bit of soap, and they are attracted and go in there. I wonder whether fleas would be at all interested in the vinegar either.
I don't know. No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
Okay.
Never heard that.
Okay.
So that's the key. Treat the yard, the house, if you get fleas. But the most important thing is build up the health of your animals. That's the key. And don't focus on the skin problem, but focus on healing, on building up overall health while you're temporarily soothing the skin problem. And work all year to build, make them healthy, and then you'll have fewer problems with fleas and ticks. Ticks
right.
is a little bit harder, but the shoe tags often work for that, and there are several, you know, tick products out there. Rose geranium oil is good for ticks. And if they're healthy, while they may get a tick, they're going to be much, 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 much less likely to get any
Lyme.
Of the tick-borne diseases.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So therefore, it's well worth doing the boosting of health.
Right. That sounds great. And you really gave us so many pointers today. Mark Moody of the UK had to go and take care of his kids now, so he just left. He wanted to thank you so much
Good.
For all this information. And I'm glad he was able to get on with us, because maybe he'll do a show about agro-homeopathy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Since he does biodynamic farming. And we have lots more guests on the line. If anybody has questions for a future show, you can send them to homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Homeopathy World Community, and send us messages there. You can contact Christina Chambreau at myhealthyanimals.com. And I don't know whether you're having any classes on your schedule coming up that you need to announce, but I also...
Absolutely. Let me take a minute and do the classes. So the next
okay.
one coming up is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And that is October 19th. It's a one-day holistic health and homeopathy for animals. And then beginning... October 25th is
How far is that from Philadelphia?
About 2 hours, hour and a half.
I might be there.
Wow.
I don't know. We'll see. Okay,
good.
Go ahead.
Go to my website. And then starting on the 25th, we have a free three-hour evening lecture in Calgary, Alberta. And the 26th, Saturday in Calgary, is Holistic Approaches for Health. Sunday is Introduction to Homeopathy. And then Monday through Friday is Intermediate Homeopathy. On Monday, I cover how to take a case. On Tuesday, using the repertory and finding animal rubrics in the repertory. On Wednesday, how to use the Materia Medica and do case analysis to select the remedy, the potency, the frequency, the method of administration. The Thursday is the evaluation of the response to the remedy, cure, palliation, or suppression. And Friday is using cases to review all of the everything we've learned.
Wow.
And then, yes, it's an incredible course. So all of this is on my website under classes. And people leave there. If they're a veterinarian, they leave being able to start using some homeopathy in their practice. They leave, and everybody leaves knowing if this is something they want to study further. And you all have to have books for the course. It's for any guardian who has an animal, they will learn how to keep their animal healthy and to work with a homeopathic practitioner if they don't want to get further training in it. And it's for people who are doing wildlife rehab, run kennels, shelters, anything, any way that you're working with animals. And then November 16th, right around the corner from where I live, so halfway between Baltimore and Harrisburg, is going to be a class on nutrition for animals, and it's going to be taught by four different speakers. One is Kevin Matthews, who's the internationally famous dog chef. He's been on TV. And Kathleen Lester, who runs the Animal Reiki Alliance, myself, and Kendall Reichert, who does live blood cell microscopy for determining the health of people, and she's applying it a little bit to animals as well now.
Who is that?
Kendall Reichert.
Kendall Reichert.
R-E-I-C-H-A-R-T.
Okay.
So those are the upcoming courses.
That's a lot of resource information, potential places that people can study and learn. I also put on the chat here, and you'll have to tell me if it is still available, your husband, Dr. Orman's ebook that I just got a message about. And I know I put it up there, but I can't find it right now. Here it is. Mort Orman's ebook at Amazon, and the link is at the top of the chat. You could tell us what it's about and how much it costs or if it's still available.
Well, it is available. It's not for free. That was finished last night. And he actually has, my husband is an expert on eliminating stress in your life. Eliminating stress in your life forever by understanding how stress happens. And his newest book that just came out on Kindle is The Choice of Paradox. There's a best-selling book that's out called The Paradox of Choice. And so he's flipped that to The Choice of Paradox, how opposite thinking can improve your life and reduce your stress. And so what he's talking about is how so often the reason we're having problems in our lives, and this is so true with us as animal guardians, and that's why I do send out about these to my animal list, is we often need to think oppositely. So the conventional thinking is prevent ever having a flea. And if you're thinking that way, prevent ever getting a flea on my animal, then you're going to use chemicals. And then you may develop serious ailments, liver problems, cancer, et cetera, or even death, neurological problems from using these chemicals. And so you may need to develop opposite thinking. You may have to choose the paradox, which is live with the pests and learn how to gently prevent them from causing problems. So that's his book. He doesn't talk about the animal side of it, but you can apply it yourself.
That sounds good. I'm going to have to open up the pages of that book and read it. In the meantime, I thank you so much. Christina Chambrow, DVM, is with us the second Wednesday of each month. And if you have suggestions or questions about specific topic areas that she can address, we welcome your thoughts, your questions, your comments, feedback, how you're appreciating these special talks, and all of, we've been doing this for a number of years now, the archives are available on Blog Talk Radio and also on Homeopathy World Community in the group that I've created for her. And, you know, I just wish everybody a glorious day. I will be continuing to talk for probably another 40 minutes or so. I know that, Christina, you need to get going. I'm going to make some announcements on what we've been doing and what's coming up, what to expect in terms of our shows, and opportunities for you, like the Full Spectrum Lights. There's a 10% coupon from Linnea Hahn, who has been doing Sunshine Science, developed these incredible light bulbs that I've been using for over a dozen years that last for a really, really long time and carry all of the light spectrum, which it's completely different from any kind of bulb that you would buy in the store, which you can feel is yellow or blue or a little bit dull or soft, but these are really bright. It's what she calls them, bringing the sunshine in, so indoor lights. So that is available for you at Homeopathy World Community. There is a link to go to that. We also have Complete Dynamics computer program. And people have been, I don't know, it's been going crazy this week. Everybody's been emailing me about this particular program where I have it on my desktop. I use it almost every day for studying, opening up all of the Materia Medica, for checking rubrics and the repertories, for just doing research about any kind of question that I might have. And if you're using it as a professional, you can do an analysis and save all of your work and the client's names and everything else that you have. That is called Complete Dynamics computer program, homeopathic computer program. So check that out. And then also we've got all of these shows going on. Last night I did a special talk with Ruthie Scoter Erie about her trip to Malawi, Africa, and using Peter Chappell's resonance remedies for healing malaria and HIV. There are people out there in these countries who are really doing phenomenal work. I want to remind everybody that everything that we talk about on Homeopathy World Community, on Blog Talk Radio, and on the Nissan Communications, where I have a live stream video show every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time USA, all of this is informative, educational, entertainment. If you have a problem with yourself, with your health, with your animal's health, or with any kind of legal issues, because I also do a show with Alan Phillips every Thursday. We've been doing it for 4 years. He can guide you on a professional level with a one-on-one. What we speak about on our radio and video shows, this is just informative, educational. It is not to be taken as advice, as a contraction, a contract between us individually. No. So that is something that you need to understand and take into consideration to always find your own healthcare provider or your legal assistant or your veterinarian. Now, what else do we have lined up? I just had a talk with Christina Munns, M-U-N-N-S, in Australia, and she's going to be on Monday's show on the Health Inn at 11 a.m., talking about quantum physics, the unified health, unified field, and how that relates to creation, how that relates to water, and how homeopathy works. So she is working in the area of physics to explain that, and she is also a homeopath. Last night I did a show, like I said, with Ruthie, and we talked a lot about what to do about protecting yourself from mosquitoes, and that's something that you might want to tune into the archive from last night. Upcoming in the future, beside we also had a show on October 7th with Ananda Moore, who did and is working on a documentary about her search for finding how homeopathy works. And that was a phenomenal show. You can look at nissancommunications.com to see the old archive of that. What else do you need to know? Columbus Day, October 14th, that's next Monday. And October 21st, Chris Gunnars is going to talk about healthy and unhealthy oils. And we did mention omega-3s today. This is really important to know. What about, what's the best thing to eat raw, to put on your recipes, and to cook with? And I'll be really interested to learn from Chris what he has to say. October 28th, the famous Amy Rothenberg will be on our Health Inn show Monday, talking about natural medicine alongside of homeopathy. November 4th, the marvelous Karen Allen will speak on active bladder syndrome, incontinence, leaky bladder, doing Kegel exercise, self-care, personal hygiene, diet, and lifestyle. She is a mentor to me. And she also has ongoing classes that you can sign up for. On Veterans Day, November 11th, we're going to be speaking with Renita Herman, who is an expert homeopath dealing with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, in veterans. And she's going to talk about the gentle homeopathic approach needed to address these issues. November 18th, Maria Bowl has been doing homeopathy for decades now, and she's talking about homeopathy, an emerging profession, what's going to happen with homeopathy, especially concerning the new rules and regulations in America about healthcare. November 25th, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Abbas Kandimi, who has written a very funny and lively book on alternative medicine. Following that, December 2nd, Donna Powers will talk about traditional medical practitioners. And December 9th, Nancy Gales, the past president of the National Center for Homeopathy, will talk about the power of self-care, a common sense guide to your wellness solution. I don't know if anybody is still tuning in to me today, and I'm just going to read a poem and see how far I get with it. This is Carl Sandburg. Just because I love poetry, and I did a show just last Monday on Qigong healing and meditation, intention, bringing visualization, light, and love into your life. And I think that poetry also can bring us to a place of peace. And this is called Good Morning America, which is also the name of a television news show. And I wonder if it came from Carl Sandburg's complete poems. This is a number of pages long. I probably won't get through the whole thing, but I'll read a little bit of it. Good Morning America. In the evening, there is a sunset sonata comes to the cities. there is a march of little armies to the dwindling of drums. The skyscrapers throw their tall lengths of walls into black bastions on the red west. The skyscrapers fasten their perpendicular alphabets far across the changing silver triangles of stars and streets. And who made them? Who made the skyscrapers? Man made them. The little two-legged joker, man. Out of his head, out of his dreaming, scheming sky piece, out of proud little diagrams that dance softly in his head, man made the skyscrapers. With his two hands, with shovels, hammers, wheelbarrows, with engines, conveyors, signal whistles, with girders, molds, steel, concrete, climbing on scaffolds and falsework with blueprints, riding the beams and dangling in midair to call, "Come on, boys!" Man made the skyscrapers. When one tall skyscraper is torn down to make room for a taller one to go up, who takes down and puts up those two skyscrapers? Man. The little two-legged joker. Man. There's gold in them hills, said old-timers on their wagon seats, and on the wagons was a scribble. Pike's Peak or bust. The Rocky Mountains are stacked tall on the skyline. Sunrise and dawns wash on the skyline every morning. Sunset feathers of foam float red and fade pink. And so, quite so, facts are facts, nailed down, fastened to stay. And facts are feathers, foam, flying phantoms. Niagara is a fact, or a little bluebird cheeping in a flight over the falls, chirping to itself, "What have we here, and how come?" The stone humps of old mountains sag and lift in a line to the sky. The sunsets come with long shadow prints. The six-cylinder go-getters ask, "What time is it? Who were the Aztecs and the Sunnis anyhow? What do I care about Cahokia? Where do we go from here? What are the facts?" Facts stay fastened. Facts are phantom. An old one-horse plow is a fact. A new farm tractor is a fact. Facts stay fastened. Facts fly with bird wings. Blood and sweat are facts. And the commands of imagination, the looks back and ahead, the spirals, pivots, landing places, fadeaways, the signal lights and dark stars of civilization. Now the head of a man, his eyes are facts. He sees in his head, as in looking glasses, a cathedral, ship, bridge, railroad, a skyscraper. And the plans are drawn, the blueprints fixed, the design and the line, the shape written clear. So fact moves from fact to fact, weaves, intersects. Then come more. Then come blood and sweat. Then come pain and death, lifting and groaning, and a crying out loud between paydays. Then the last ghost on the job walks. The job stands up, the joined stresses of facts. The cathedral, ship, bridge, railroad, the skyscraper, speaks to a living hello to the open sky, stretches forth as an acknowledgement. Quote, "The big job is done by God. We made it." Unquote. Facts stay fastened. Facts fly with phantom bird wings. I have looked over the earth and seen the swarming of different people to a different god. White men with prayers to a white god, black men with prayers to a black god, yellow faces before altars to a yellow-faced god. Amid burning fires, they have pictured God with a naked skin. Amid frozen rocks, they have pictured God clothed and shaggy as a polar bear. I have met stubs of men broken in the pain and mutilation of war, saying God is forgetful and too far off, too far away. I have met people saying they talk with God face to face. They tell God, "Hello, God, how are you, God?" They get familiar with God and hold intimate conversations. Yet, I have met other people saying they are afraid to see God face to face, for they would ask questions even as God might ask them questions. I have seen these facts of God and man and anxious earthworms hunting for a home. I have seen the facts of humblebees and scarlet butterflies, orioles and flickers, goldwing moths and pink ladybugs. I have seen the spotted sunset sky filled with flights and wings, and I have heard high in the twilight blew the propellers of man and the evening air mail droning from Omaha to Chicago, droning across Iowa and Illinois. I have said, "The prince of many new wings, many fresh flights, many clean propellers shall be on the sky before we understand God and the work of wings and air." I have seen the figures of heroes set up as memorials, testimonies of fact. Leif Erikson, in a hard, deep purple bronze, stands as a frozen shadow, lean with searching eyes, on a hill in Wisconsin, overlooking Lake Michigan. Columbus, in bronze, is the center of a turmoil of traffic from world ends gathered on Manhattan Island. Washington stands in marble shaped from life in the old Romanesque temple on Capitol Hill in Richmond, Virginia, with an arrogant laughter heard from circling skyscrapers. Andrew Jackson, in bronze on a bronze horse, a rocking horse on its hind legs with four paws in the air, the tail brandishing as the general lifts a cockade from his head in salutation to the citizens and soldiers of the Republic. Ulysses S. Grant, somber and sober, is on a pony high in bronze listening to the endless white horses of Lake Michigan talking to Illinois. Robert E. Lee, recumbent in white stone, sleeps a bivouac sleep in peace among loved ones of the southern Shenandoah Valley. Lincoln's memorial is kept in a living arterial highway moving across state lines from coast to coast to the murmur. "Be good to each other, sisters. Don't fight, brothers." And may we ask, is a flower a fact? Shall a thin, perishable blossom mount out of homeland soil and give the breath of its leaves? For a memorial printed a few days, for a symbol kept by the bees and the wind, shall each state pick its favorite flower and say, "This is me, us. This comes from the dirt of the earth, the loam, the mulch. This is a home greeting to our eyes. These leaves touch our footloose feet, our children, and our children's children. The blue cornflower along the railroad tracks in Illinois, the pink moccasin hiding in the big woods of Minnesota, the wild prairie rose scrambling along Iowa roads, the golden poppy of California, giant cactus of Arizona, apple blossom of Michigan, Kentucky's trumpet vine, the rhododendrons of Washington and West Virginia, the Indian paintbrush of Wyoming, Montana's bitter root, vital and endless goldenrod crossing Nebraska, Maricopa lily of Utah, pasque flower of South Dakota, ox-eye daisy of North Carolina, Florida's orange blossom, the magnolia of Louisiana, the Delaware peach blossom, the silent laughing salutations of the Kansas sunflower, the old buffalo clover, the marching Texas bluebonnet, the pine cone and the tassel of the lonesome state of Maine. Shall these be among our phantom facts? Facts are phantom. Facts begin with a bud, a seed, an egg. A hero, a hoodlum, a little both, a toiling two-faced driven destiny sleeps in the secret traceries of eggs. If one egg could speak and answer the question, egg, who are you? What are you? Where did you come from and where are you going? If one egg could break through the barriers, pass all interference and tell that much, then we could tell how the earth came. How we came with hair, lungs, noses, to sit on the earth and eat our breakfast, to sleep with our mates and to salute the moon between sleeps, to meditate on worms in the dust, and how they fail to divulge the designs of the dark autocracies of their fates. Let one egg tell, and we would understand a billion eggs. The newborn child, dried behind the ears, swaddled in soft claws and groping for nipples, comes from a payday of love so old, so involved, so traced with circles of the moon. So cunning with secrets of the salts of blood, it must be older than the moon, older than the salt sea. And do nations go back to the secret traceries of eggs, to the beginnings that fail to divulge the designs? Can we say to the unborn egg, who are you? Egg, divulge your design. Nations begin young the same as babies. They suckle and struggle, they grow up, they toil, fight, laugh, suffer, die, they obey the trace circles of the moon, they follow the ordained times of night, morning, afternoon, evening, and night again. They stand up and have their day on the pavilion of the four winds. The night sky of stars watches them begin, wear out, and fade away before newcomers, before silence, before empty pavilions. They leave flags, slogans, alphabets, numbers, tools, tales of flaming performances. They leave moths, manuscripts, memories. And so to the pavilion of the four winds came the little one they call America. One that suckled, struggled, toiled, laughed, grew. America began young, the same as a baby. The little new republic had its swaddling claws, its child shirt, its tussle to knit long bone joints. And who can read the circle of its moons now? And who shall tell beforehand the secret of its salts and blood? Turn back and look at those men riding horses, sitting in saddles, smelling of leather, going to Boston, to Richmond in velvet knickerbockers, in silk stockings and slippers with silver buckles, white powdered wigs on their heads, speaking of the honor of a gentleman, singing, God rest ye merry gentlemen, meeting carpenters who built staircases and gables with their hands. The workday was sun up till sundown. They drove hand-wrought nails. The smoothing of their own hands was on their woodwork. Look back. They are pinching their fingers in silver and gold snuffbox, lifting tankards of ale, discussing titles to many miles of land, counties and townships of land. The gentleman rides all day to round his boundaries, and the jail doors cling to their brass locks, holding the dregs, the convicts of debt. Look back, and that was long ago. America was newborn. The Republic was a baby, a child, fresh white behind the ears, blinking, tussling to knit the long new bone joints. Look back. There is an interlude. Men in covered wagons in buckskin, with plows, rifles, six-shooters, sweep west, the Havana cigar, the long pantaloons, the Mississippi Steamboat, the Talking Wires, the Iron Horse. Yes, there was an interlude. Something happened. Always something happens. History is a living horse laughing at a wooden horse. History is a wind blowing where it listeth. History is no sure thing to bet on. History is a box of tricks with a lost key. History is a labyrinth of doors with sliding panels, a book of ciphers with the code in a cave of the Sargasso Sea. History says, if it pleases, excuse me, I beg your pardon, it will never happen again if I can help it. Yes, there was an interlude, and phantoms washed their white shirts over and over again in buckets of blood, and the saddest phantom of all stood up at Gettysburg and tried to tell right from wrong and left the most of it unsaid in the air. The years go by with their numbers, names, so many born, so many gone. Again, the four horsemen take their laughter. Men walk on air and tumble from the sky. Men grapple under sea and soak their bones along rust-brown, rust-flaked turbines in the sea bottom. Men bite the dust from bullets, bombs, bayonets, gas, till 10 million go west without time for a goodbye, till double 10 million are cripples for life, blind, shocked, broken storm children, boys singing hinky-dinky parley-voo, come back from the oversea vortex, from the barrages of no man's land, saying with gleams deep in their eyes, there is nothing to say, ask me no questions. Steel, coal, oil, the test tube arise as facts, dominions, standing establishments with world ambassadors. Between two seashores comes a swift interweaving of blood and bones, nerves and arteries, rail and motor paths, airways and airports, tunnels, wires, broadcast on high and low frequencies to the receiving sets. The train callers call all aboard for transcontinental flyers. It is seaboard to seaboard, and the tin can tourists buy gas and follow the bird migrations. The concrete highways crack under the incessant tires of 2-ton, 10-ton trucks, and the concrete mixers come with laughing bellies filled with gravel for their repair jobs. The talk runs of the boil weevil in the cotton, the doodle bug in the oil fields, the corn borer of the lame duck in Congress, the farm block, the Ku Klux, a new sucker born every minute, sales canvas and selling spiels, the talk runs of crime waves, boy murderers, two women and a man, two men and a woman, bootleggers, the beer racket, and the hijackers, gang fights, cloudbursts, tornadoes, floods, the lakes to Gulf Waterway, Boulder Dam. The latest songs go from Broadway west across the country. The latest movies go from Hollywood east across the country. In a million homes, they set their dials and listen to jazz numbers, the classics, the speech of the president in Washington, the heavyweight championship fight, the symphonies of the music masters. Voices telling mankind to look itself in the face. Who are you? What are you? We'll tell you. Here is the latest. This is what man has done today on the pavilion of the four winds, on the arcs of the globe. As the dusty red sun settles in the day end, the sport sheets blaze forth telling the box scores, the touchdowns, the scandals, pictures of dying champions, of new claimants, fresh aspirants calling challenges, of oversea flyers, winners and losers, of new and old darlings of destiny. Fate's crap shooters fading each other, big dick or snake eyes, midnights and deuces, chicken one day and feathers the next. The true story of how an ash can became a veranda and vice versa. A code arrives, language, lingo, slang. Behold the proverbs of a people, a nation. Give them the works. Fix it. There's always a way. Be hard-boiled. The good die young. Be a square shooter. Be good. If you can't be good, be careful. When they put you in that six-foot bungalow, that wooden kimono, you're through. And that's that. Sell them. Sell them. Make them eat it. What if we gyp them? It'll be good for them. Get their names on the dotted line and give them the ha-ha. The higher they go, the farther they drop. The fewer, the sooner. Tell them. Tell them. Make them listen. They got to listen when they know who you are. Don't let them know what you got on your hip. Hit them where they ain't. It's good for whatever ails you, and if nothing ails you, it's good for that. Where was you raised? In a barn? There are a lot of muckers, tin horns. Show those slobs where they get off at. Tell them they're going to open a keg of nails. Beat them to a fare thee well. Hand them the raspberries, clean them, and then give them car fare home. Maybe all you'll get from them you can put in your ear anyhow. They got a fat nerve to try to tie a can on you. Send them to the cleaners. Put the kibosh on them, and so they'll never come back. You don't seem to know 4 out of 5 have pyrrhea in Peoria. Your head ain't screwed on wrong, I trust. Use your noodle, your nut, your think tank, your sky piece. God meant for you to use it. If they offer to let you in on the ground floor, take the elevator. Put up a sign. Don't worry, it won't last. Nothing does. Put up a sign. In God we trust. All others pay cash. Put up a sign. Be brief. We have our living to make. Put up a sign. Keep off the grass. I behold the proverbs of a people. The big word is service. Service. First, last, and always. Business is business. What you don't know won't hurt you. Courtesy pays. Fair enough. The voice with a smile. Say it with flowers. Let one hand wash the other. The customer is always right. Who's your boyfriend? Who's your girlfriend? Oh, very well. God reigns and the government at Washington lives. Let it go at that. There are lies, damn lies, and statistics. Figures don't lie, but liars can figure. There's more truth than poetry in that. You don't know the half of it, dearie. It's the roving bee that gathers the honey. A big man is a big man, whether he's a president or a prize fighter. Name your poison. Take a little interest. Look the part. It pays to look well. Be yourself. Speak softly and carry a big stick. War is hell. Honesty is the best policy. It's all in the way you look at it. Get the money, honestly, if you can. It's hell to be poor. Well, money isn't everything. Well, life is what you make it. Speed and curves, what more do you want? I'd rather fly than eat. There must be pioneers, and some of them get killed. The grass is longer in the backyard. Give me enough Swedes and snuff and I'll build a railroad to hell. How much did he leave? All of it. Can you unscramble eggs? Early to bed and early to rise, and you never meet any prominent people. Let's go. Watch our smoke, excuse our dust. Keep your shirt on. First come the pioneers, lean, hungry, fierce, and dirty. They wrangle and battle with the elements. They gamble on crops, chills, ague, rheumatism. They fight wars and put a nation on the map. They battle with blizzards, lice, wolves. They go on a fighting trail to break sod for unnumbered millions to come. Then the fat years arrive when the fat drips. Then come the rich men, baffled by their riches, bewildered by the silence of their tall possessions. Then come the criers of the ancient desperate taunt. Stuff your guts and strut your stuff. Strut it high and handsome. When you die, you're dead. And there's no comeback, and not even the winds will say your name. Feed, O pigs, feed, O swine. Old-timer, dust of the earth so kindly. Old-timer, dirt of our feet and days. Old-time gravel and gumbo of the earth. Take them back kindly, these pigs, these swine. The bones of them and their brothers blanched the same yellow of the years. Since we sell the earth with a fence around it, since one man sells the ocean to another and guarantees a new roof and all modern conveniences, since we sell everything but the blue sky and only the blue sky laws stop us selling that, since we sell justice, since we sell pardons for crimes, since we sell land titles, oil claims, 99-year options, all-day suckers, and 2-minute eggs. Since we have coined a slogan, never give the sucker an even break and an old army game goes. Since the selling game is the big game, and unless you know how to sell, you're a bum, and that ain't all. Since the city hicks and the hicks from the sticks go to the latest Broadway hit, hoping to fix their glims on a birdie with her last feather off in a bathtub of booze. Let the dance go on. Let the stocking-stuffed cadavers of old men run the earth and call up the four horsemen. Now it's Uncle Sam sitting on top of the world. Not so long ago it was John Bull, and earlier yet, Napoleon and the eagles of France told the world where to get off at. Spain, Rome, Greece, Persia, their blunderbuss guns, their spears and catapults, ships took their turn at leading the civilizations of the earth. One by one they were bumped off, moved over, left behind, taken for a ride. They died, or they lost the wallop they used to pack. Not so good. Not so good. One by one they no longer sat on the top of the world. Now the young stranger is Uncle Sam, is America. And the song goes, the stars and stripes forever, even though forever is a long time. Even though the oldest kings that had their singers and clowns calling, O king, you shall live forever. In God we trust, it is so written, the writing goes onto every silver dollar. The fact God is the great one who made us all, we is you and me and all of us in the United States of America. And trusting God means we give ourselves, all of ourselves, the whole United States of America, to God, the great one. Yes, perhaps. Is that so? The silent litany of the workmen goes on. Speed, speed, we are the makers of speed. We make the flying, crying motors, clutches, brakes, and axles, gears, ignitions, accelerators, spokes, and springs, and shock absorbers. The silent litany of the workmen goes on. Speed, speed, we are the makers of speed. Axles, clutches, levels, shovels. We make the signals and lay the way. Speed, speed, the trees come down to our tools. We carve the wood to the wanted shape. The whining propeller's song in the sky, the steady drone of the overland truck, comes from our hands, us, the makers of speed. Speed the turbines, crossing the big pond, every nut and bolt, every bar and screw, every fitted and whirling shaft. They came from us, the makers, us, who know how, us, the high designers and the automatic feeders, us, with heads, us with hands, us on the long haul, the short flight. We are the makers, lay the blame on us, the makers of speed. There is a sleepwalker, goes walking and talking. I promise you nothing. There are too many promises. I bring you a package so little, so thin, you can hide it anywhere. In your shoe, in your ear, in the corner of your heart. I bring you a handkerchief so filmy, a gauze of silk, so foamy, a fabric. You pick it up and put it away as you put away a bubble, a morning cobweb in the sun, a patch of moon dropped from two lilacs. I bring you gold, beaten so thin with so many little hammers, it is thinner than the morning laughter of hummingbirds flitting among diamond dewdrops, yet hard as an anvil wearing out the strongest hammers. There is a sleepwalker, goes walking and talking. Go along and away from all books. Go with your own heart into the storm of human hearts and see if somewhere in that storm there are bleeding hearts, sacred hearts, taking a bitter wages of doom, red soaked and crimson plunged hearts of the Redeemer of man. Walk by yourself and find the silence where a whisper of your lips is the same as a pounding and a shouting at the knobs and panels of great doors. Walk away, walk again, where the mass human shadows foregather, where the silhouettes and pantomimes of the great human procession wind with a crying out loud and rotten laughters mix with raging tumults, and between the being born and the being dead of the generations, they march, march, march to the drums, drums, drums of the three facts of arriving, living, departing. Go where the shadows string from winding pilgrim cohorts, where the line of the march twists and reels, and the 100 years is nothing much, and 1,000 or 1,000,000 years nothing much, as they march, march, march to the drums, drums, drums of the three facts. Go there, and let your heart be soft, fading as rainbows on slants of rain in the sun. Let your heart be full of riddles as white steel and its blue shadows. There is a sleepwalker, goes walking and talking. We are afraid. What are we afraid of? We are afraid of what we are afraid of. We are afraid of this, that, these, those, them. We are afraid the earth will blow up and the bomb, the human family, out of its sleep, its slumber, its sleepwalking, its pass and repass of shadows. We are afraid the sky will come apart and fall on us, and in a rain of stars we will wash out into the great alone, the deep dark, saying, "Goodbye, old Mother Earth. We always were afraid of you." We are afraid. What are we afraid of? We are afraid of nothing much, nothing at all, nothing in the shape of God, man, or beast. We can eat any ashes offered us. We can step out before the fact of death and look it in the eye and laugh. You are the beginning or the end of something. I gamble with you. I'll take a chance. And we, us the people, we who, of course, are no sleepwalkers, perhaps we may murmur. Perhaps, as the airmen slip into the leather coats, gambling for the timetables as against the skull and crossbones, riding with mail sacks across the orange blossoms, the desert cactus, the Rockies, the Great Plains, the Mississippi, the Corn Belt, the Appalachians, riding with mail sacks, with a clutch on the steering wheels in storms and sky stars, with a passing cry, "Good luck and God bless you." Perhaps while they ride and gamble on the new transcontinental sky paths, perhaps we may ask and murmur, "Good morning, America. Good morning, Mr. Who, Which, What. Good morning. Let's all of us tell our real names. Good morning, Mr. Somebody, Nobody, Anybody who is anybody at all. Good morning, worms in the dust, eagles in the air, climbers to the top of the sky." You have kissed goodbye to one century, one little priceless album, you will yet kiss goodbye to 10, 20 centuries. Ah, you shall have such albums. Your mothers, America, have labored and carried harvests of generations. Across the spillways come further harvests, new, tumultuous populations, young strangers crying, "We are here! We belong! Look at us!" Good morning, America! Morning goes as morning glories go. High noon goes, afternoon goes. Twilight, sundown, gloaming. The hour of writing. Good night, America. Good night. Sleep, peace, and sweet dreams. The prince of many new ships shall be on the sky. The four horsemen shall ride again in a bitter dust. The granaries of great nations shall be the food of fat rats. And the shooting stars shall write new alphabets on the sky. Before we come home, before we understand. Off in our western sky, off in a burning maroon, shall come in a wintrous haze, shall come in points and crystals, a shovel of stars. Let us wigwag the moon, let us make new propellers, go past old spent stars and find blue moons on a new star path. Let us make pioneer prayers. Let working clothes be sacred. Let us look on and listen in God's great workshop of stars and eggs. There shall be many, many girls in a wild, windy moonlight. Many, many mothers carrying babies. Sea sunsets give us keepsakes, prairie gloamings pay us for prayers, mountain clouds on bronze skies give us great memories. Let us have summer roses, let us have tawny harvest haze and pumpkin pie. Time, let us have springtime faces to toil for and play for. Let us have the fun of booming winds on long waters. Give us dreamy blue twilights of winter evenings to wrap us in a coat of dreaminess. Moonlight, come down, shine down, moonlight. Meet every bird cry and every song calling to a hard old earth, a sweet young earth. That was the reading of a poem by Carl Sandburg called Good Morning America. Many, many stanzas and many, many pages. And it seems very fitting that it really talks about contemporary life, about life, about death, about hopes, about dreams, about carrying on, about Mother Earth, about mothers and babies, and what the potent of portent of an egg. Who are you? What is your identity? What will you be? What will come in a good morning for America? He spoke of skyscrapers. He did not even know about the Twin Towers, and yet you could feel it in his words. You could feel Niagara Falls. You could feel the earth, the wind, the blood, the sweat. You could feel in his words, in his gorgeous, beautiful, what the potential of life is in America. If we can look at the egg and the baby and the mother and love and compassion and feeling, and our fears. He mentioned bombs and war. And what are we afraid of? So I think that this was a very, very beautiful, beautiful poem. And if you have any feedback, please send it. And if you enjoy poems, I will see if I can continue to write them again in the future. So thank you for listening in to Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community. These are all archived. You can hear them again. We have 4 years worth of audio tapes. And on Monday, the Health In Show on Nissan Communications at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we will be speaking with Christina Munns of Australia about our physical universe, quantum theory, and homeopathy. So I don't even think I will send you. We're just going to sign off and wish everyone peace and waves of awareness, happiness, and love. Bye-bye, everyone.